I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay in my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. So good. Every breath that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close.
Thankful? Amen. God is so good. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Some songs I don't know. I have eclectic taste and listen to all sorts of things. That's one song that I apologize if you hear me singing over here. I break out of my country twang. I don't know why. Amen. Glory. But I love that song. Amen. Amen. Before we get going, I want to just take a moment to pray for our CMI group. They attended a conference out west, and they are in the thick of things as far as the blizzard of the century that's blowing through Kansas and all that stuff. They're almost to Kansas City, but let's just pray right now. We already prayed in our pre-service meeting, but pray that God would just keep them on the road. It's not Wisconsin. They don't do things like we do. We'd be like, let's just get through. But so let's just pray that God's hands would be upon them right now, and we'll pray again next service. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. Once again, we come to you, Lord, guide, Lord, and protect our CMI group, the group from Eau Claire. They're traveling together, Lord Jesus, right now. Keep them safe on the road. Give them wisdom, Lord Jesus. Clear the roads, Lord God, ahead of them. Let everything be all right. God, Jesus, home safely, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, I bet no one's really been excited to see Des Moines, but they will be, because that's above the that's above the blizzard line. So let them get to Iowa, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Happy New Year, everyone. Amen. First service of the year. Praying that 2025 has started off well for you folks. Amen. Maybe you've had a family Christmas gathering yet to have. Some do that late, but we're essentially through the holidays into a new year. I hope it's been a great start. History is fascinating. It truly has an endless supply of stories that can be told and researched, and stories of the ups and downs of society, of great inventions, maybe great losses, times of war, times of peace, times of prosperity. Today's authors couldn't come up with a new thing, anything new, when it comes to suspense, conspiracies, political manipulation, because so many accounts are already part of human history. There's one, I thought this was interesting, never heard of this one before, but 1,500 years ago, late 5th century, a man named Sigilbert lived, and he was the king of the Franks. These were a Germanic people. They lived near the present-day city of Cologne, just up the river from where I lived as a teenager. And their ancestry is thought to trace back to the Turkish city of Troy, which, according to legend, we've heard of that, the Trojan horse, defeated by the Greeks. And those who escaped the city after that are thought to have eventually settled along the banks of the Rhine River, became known as the Franks. Sigilbert, who had been injured in his knee at the Battle of Tolbiac in 496, ruled over them, and he had a perpetual limp. He is known historically as Sigilbert the Lame. He ruled until 509, when, as this story finally gets interesting, his son assassinates him. Yeah, his son Cloderic was encouraged to take this step, kill his own father, by a man named Clovis the First. And this guy, unbeknownst, maybe a little naive Cloderic was, because this guy had his own ambition for the throne. And so after Cloderic murdered his own father, he offered a large treasure to Clovis to secure his support in his new reign. And so Clovis sent emissaries to assess the treasure. They asked the new king to plunge his arms into the gold as deeply as he could to convince them that the treasure box didn't have a false bottom and it was actually small, a small size. And so he immobilizes his arms by plunging them deeply into the gold, rendering them vulnerable and defenseless, and the delegation assassinates him, leaving the throne vacant, and Clovis quickly convinces the people he should lead them, thus completing his plan. Crazy history. And while our Bible is also a historical text, and there's another story that echoes some of those same elements, yet a little more inspiring, took place 450 years before Clovis, and this story centers a man with a disability as well. He too reached for gold, but this man received something far different than he expected, far better than he expected. And so today we're going to talk about worth more than gold. Worth more than gold. The new year means a new series this month in our adult Bible class. And in last week's class, we learned about the precious name. The precious name. The name of Jesus, how powerful it is. And it's pretty cool to roll right into this new series. Once again, looking at that same scripture text that we talked about last week, which is found in Acts 3, and you can start making your way there. We'll be reading it shortly. In this month's lessons, we're going to be talking about miracles, starting at the gate of the temple in Acts 3, ending up with Simon Peter at the door in Acts 12. We're going to see how God worked miracles for his newborn church in the book of Acts. And we want to build our faith this month to trust that God is still able to do what he has done and so much more. Amen. Amen. So let's go to Acts 3, verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This man in the book of Acts received something far more valuable than gold. We just talked about this last week. It was the healing power of the name of Jesus that completely changed his life when two preachers passed his way. The man lay at the gate to the temple and begged for natural treasure. That's all he knew. He most likely didn't understand that a greater treasure was available to him through the power of the name of Jesus. But when Peter spoke, the man received a miracle instead of money. No matter what type of generosity he had seen over the years of his life, what happened on that day far surpassed any gift he had ever received. And that's the point. Miracles are more valuable than gold. It's true. Yeah, it's true that through diligence and persistence, we can amass an earthly treasure. We can get a fortune. But no matter how hard we try on our own, we cannot secure a miracle. I don't know about you. It's very definition. That's what a miracle is. It can't be attained. Miracles are found through the Lord Jesus alone. Amen. Right at the outset, I want to encourage us today, just as Jesus did for this man in the book of Acts, Jesus is both willing and he's able to work miracles and provide healing in our lives as well. Do you need a miracle? Does your body need a miracle? Does your marriage need a miracle? Do your kids need a miracle? Relatives, do your finances need a miracle? Let's dive into the story, get some applicable things for our miracle needs. Anybody ever heard this phrase, the greatest ability is availability? Kind of cheesy. Amen, a few of you. But sometimes I've heard that over the years, and sometimes things are repeated. I've heard that many times in leadership training or that type of thing, and they're repeated so often because they're actually true. I was talking to an individual lately, and they're doing some awesome things for the Lord, and God is using them, and we were reflecting on where God has brought us over the last few years, and he told me, you know, you said a long time ago that leaders are available. I wish I had taken action on that statement back then, but I didn't. And he was reminiscing, and I just encouraged him because God is working in his life. But he referenced that. I must have said that because I don't remember, but I must have said that at some point, that leaders are available. And it's true. When God wants to meet the need of others through us, we must be available. God impresses us on our hearts to go offer prayer to a coworker who has expressed a need. It's not like we sit there and like, all right, God, move me. And he like picks up the, you know, marionette puppets and like, okay, I'm going over. And he forces us to move there. And then we get there and we wait for him to force open our mouth and we wait for him to like speak the words. No, we have to be available. And when God says go, we say, okay, God, I'm going to go meet the need. I'm going to go talk to them. When God wants to meet the need of others through us, we must be available. When he wants to bless us, we must be available. For wanting to see blessings in our lives, we have to be willing to just be available to bless others and let the Lord through. I remember Bishop had talked financially. He said, if God will trust you with finances if you have an open hand to give of your finances, because he knows that you're not going to be like, I don't trust you, God. But when he sees us open our hands and we're faithful in our giving, he's like, okay, I can trust them. I can bless them. And he incrementally tests you. Okay, you got $100. Are you gonna wait till you have $1,000,000 to bless people? Or to give unto the kingdom of God? Or will you do it with 100? Okay, you're gonna do it with 100? Cool. Now I'll give you 1,000. Are you willing to do it with 1,000? And some people get to a level and they're like, Okay, I got a bit. If we are free and we are available for God to use us and bless us, he will bless us. When God wants to work a miracle for us, we must be available. We see it in Scripture when Jesus comes across folks who wanted to be healed. Let's look at a few. Luke 6:10, it says, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. In John 9:7, the instruction was, go wash in the pool of Siloam. In John 5:8, it was, rise, take up your bed and walk. Mark 3:3, step forward was the call. These folks were not passive participants in the physical healing. Jesus required something of them. And it's the same with us. We must be active participants. And just like the beggar in Acts 3 who received his miracle, we must position ourselves properly, make our requests passionately, and then respond joyfully when the need is met. We must be available. Acts 3:2, I'm going to read it again. It says, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple. The Bible highlights this man's faithfulness. Part of being available is faithfulness. This man was at the gate of the temple every single day. Even though being disabled was cause for exclusion in ancient Jerusalem. Leviticus 21:18 talks about how a man with a disability could not serve as a priest. And David in 2 Samuel seems to expand that limitation further by refusing to allow those who were disabled to enter into the house of the Lord at all. Yet this man was willing to face daily rejection and perhaps even ridicule by being placed just outside the entrance to a location that was forbidden to him. Each day as worshipers passed by on their way to the temple, they would see this man trying to barely survive by begging of those who came to worship. Listen, he had no other choice but to cry out for charity. His broken body prevented him from making a living any other way. They didn't have social services back then that he could call upon and get a ride share. No, he had to say, can you come carry me again today there? Let's put ourselves in his shoes. It was no doubt humiliating, but it was necessary for his own survival. Each day this man asked for others to position him as close to the house of God as he was allowed, hoping he would receive something that would meet his daily needs. In his own way, he faithfully attended church. But this faithfulness positioned him perfectly when his day for a miracle came. Just think if that morning he just threw in the towel and was so tired of the struggle that he had made the decision that, you know what, it's not worth it today. I don't want to go again. And he would have missed out on a supernatural, life-changing moment. His commitment to being a daily presence at the Gate Beautiful resulted in him being a recipient of a miracle. And so, too, we need to be faithful. It kind of prompts the question in our lives. If our calendars could testify, how important would faithfulness to our spiritual disciplines be to us? If our calendars could testify. This man's faithfulness was not just evident in his consistent presence at the gate. He also continually asked for help. Each person who came by could count on hearing his voice. No one got a pass. Those who had given to him previously were asked to do so again. It didn't matter if they dropped coins in his cup the day before. He needed money for meals today. He asked those who had never given to him in hopes that on this day they would show generosity for the first time. His request was often on his lips. It was always on his lips. Faithful attendance coupled with faithful requests seemed to be a key to him receiving a miracle that day. Is that why Jesus instructs us in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8? What does he say? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. The Amplified Version says this, ask and keep on asking. And then it goes, seek and keep on seeking. And it says, knock and keep on knocking. It's progressive. We don't just ask once and then hope for the best. No, we ask and we ask again. We seek and we seek again. We knock and we knock again. It's exactly what this man in Acts 3 did. Jesus told parables in Luke to that effect. There was two of them. One of them was the widow. There was a woman, a widow who asked and asked and asked and asked and kept on asking and of the judge until he finally said, fine, fine, I'll rule in your favor. And Jesus ends this saying, if he, the judge, was willing to do that, how much more would your heavenly Father rule in your favor? There's an element of faithfulness in our presence and also in our request. When we need a miracle, we must properly position ourselves for a miracle. God has blessed us, given us a church to attend, but we bear the responsibility of making sure we're here. And we are. Praise God. You're here. Can God heal folks at home? Absolutely. Absolutely he can. But our willingness to be faithful to corporate worship with our church family demonstrates something about our faith in Christ. I will be here. Our hunger for an answer is demonstrated by our desire to be close to worship at every opportunity. Scripture even instructs us to initiate the call for prayer and not to sit and wait for someone else to call us to pray. James said in James 5, 14 through 15, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. But you'll notice it says, let him call for the elders. And sometimes we get that. If we're facing, you know, insurmountable odds, or we're facing sickness or stresses and things in our lives, how the enemy works, let me just give you some insight. The goal is to isolate you and to feel isolated. And so then you just, well, no one cares about me. If you're sick, please let someone know. Let me say, we want to help you here at Calvary Gospel. This pastoral team, your church family, we want to help. So make the call. You're not a bother. There's so many like, well, I'm just going to bother them, or they're probably, I've heard so many times, I didn't contact you because I figured you were busy. Well, that's a big assumption. Now, I may not be able to like come meet you immediately, but man, I'm gonna set up a time. And I've told that those people who I've mentored, I'm like, don't make that, let the enemy make that excuse for you and lie to you that, oh, they don't care about me. They're not going to be wanting to come up to the high. We want to help. We've had folks in the past get upset when no one came to the hospital when they were really struggling. The problem was no one could go because no one even knew they were there. And they wouldn't pick up the phone. They're like, well, you should have known. I'm trying to encourage. We have a church family. Let's make the call. Make the call and share that. I overshare. It's funny because like my family, my brother is, and hi Joel, if you're watching, hopefully you're not, but like the dude does not share anything. And it's like, I have a group text with him and another friend of ours, the three of us. And it's like, how's it going? Oh, don't worry about me. If I'm sick, I'm just like, oh, I'm like, you know, a typical guy just like, I'm dying. And I'm like, I share everything. Like, oh, I just got, you know. Got this bruise on my right shoulder. I don't know what it, you know, where's, you know, Joel could be like in the hospital with getting a pacemaker put in, and it's like you find out 4 days later. It's like, dude, like, I want to know, and I want to encourage you. We want to know as a church family. We want to pray. We want to support. Amen. And please reach out if you are in need. And if you get a phone call, please pass it on to onto the prayer team, onto the pastoral team. And yes, pray yourself, but share it with the family. Obviously, if it's a sensitive issue, there's routes to go that we keep things very sensitive. We have a group in Church Center in the app that's called Prayer. Join it. You can share a request there. You can see the requests that are shared and pray for them. We are a church family. We need to be a house of prayer. Reach out. Reach out. Don't wait for someone to reach and say, I need help. That's you saying, I have faith in this church family so much that I'm going to make the call because I need it. Help me. I don't know what to do. I don't have the answer. We must be willing to ask. We're clearly told in Philippians 4:6 says, let your requests be made known to God. And we must be willing to ask repeatedly. God always answers prayer. And some people are like, well, didn't answer mine. Well, he answers yes. He may answer yes, and we'll get yes. He answered yes. But he also may answer no. We're like, oh, you know, can I, God, I need a Lamborghini. Nah. How about a Dave Ramsey, like, you know, I don't know, Toyota, what's a Pinto? I don't even, that's a really old, you know. You know, and we're like, oh, but I wanted the Lamborghini. You know, and his answer, we mentioned this last week, it may be wait. Just wait. I got it. Just wait. However, he answers. However he answers, just ask. There are a few types of prayer we might offer to God. One's called repentance. Of course, that is where we ask for God to forgive us. One is called petition. That's when we ask God for something we need, miracle, healing. It could be financial, physical, spiritual. One is called intercession. That's when we ask God for something someone else needs and we pray for them. One's called supplication, and that's when we come to God knowing we absolutely need him. It's really not much difference than petition or intercession. It literally just means to ask earnestly, almost to beg. We certainly know that God cares and he loves us. Sometimes we just go to him broken and burdened, and we ask God, and we know he hears us. And that's the foundation of prayer, of faith, is expecting God and knowing that he is going to answer us. So back to Acts 3, it was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Peter and John, who'd recently baptized with the Holy Ghost, on the day of Pentecost, they head to the temple for prayer. The gate had a lot of traffic, was a great location to beg, lots of people. Guy was smart in that regard. As Peter and John pass by the man, he looks to them for some money to sustain him. And again, it's doubtful he knew anything about the apostles or their newfound faith, their experience. He was just needing some money. And so with hopeful expectation, the man merely anticipates the potential clink of a coin falling into his cup, maybe two coins since there's two of them. The point is that he asked for something. The Bible then records he looked at Peter and John expecting to receive something of them. Little did he understand just what he would receive. And Peter, we already read this, but we're going to read it again. Acts 3:6, these famous words, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk, rise up and walk. Peter was explaining that though he had no natural wealth to share, he had something better. He had access to the healing power of Jesus Christ. The result stunned all on the temple grounds that day. And again, going on to verse 7 and 8, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. This miracle is particularly notable because it was the first one performed by God in direct response to the expressed faith of one of the apostles after Pentecost. They had witnessed Jesus heal countless people. And though they had been promised this type of power and authority after their new birth, that moment at the gate of the temple was the first time they put the words of Jesus into action. And as he always does, Jesus proved true to his word. And the now healed man was the beneficiary. Sometimes we are intimidated by what we don't have rather than having boldness in what we do. Every spirit-filled child of God is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We go with the delegated authority of heaven in our lives. We have the capacity to pray the same types of prayers recorded into the book of Acts. Peter and John were human, just as we are. And they were subject to the same human frailties, challenges, questions, doubts. But they operated in the power of the Spirit through faith in Jesus' name, and so can we. And so while we have needs of our own, there are also a lot of needy people. in this world. Pastor Peter led on Friday night in prayer, and we prayed for Dane County and prayed that God would lead us to the needy and God would draw the needy to us. And so there's two parts of miracles. It's our miracles that we need, but also us being a conduit for God to do the miraculous. For countless people around us, Jesus Christ is their only answer. Physical sickness plagues them, which medical science, with all its spectacular advancements, we're thankful for medicine. We believe in medicine, but it can't remedy everything. Emotional turmoil has unleashed hopelessness in our society. Suicide deaths are hitting all-time highs. Each of us have neighbors with relational damage all around them. We are struggling. Spiritual ruin is abundant on all sides of us in the lives of people with whom we interact daily. And so we routinely mirror the interaction in Acts 3. Someone on the way to prayer meets someone on the way to nowhere. While we're busily engaged in our pursuits, we pass people whose lives are filled with needs that demand a miracle. That thought would be terrifying if we were expected to produce a miracle. But we don't do the miracles. It's not you. It's not me. It's not any of us. We don't produce miracles. But we don't have to. We're just expected to look to Jesus and ask him to produce a miracle. Maybe the challenge is that many times we simply do not ask big enough. What would happen if we followed the prompting of the Holy Ghost and walked in faith by praying big prayers, quote unquote? We would undoubtedly see more miracles in people's lives. How many of us would have simply cast a coin into that beggar's cup and gone on? Or if we did pray, we would have simply prayed that God would bless him and meet his needs. I've been there. And that the human doubts and like God, like, think about that. Hadn't been done through the apostles before, and they have the faith, but they had to say, rise up and walk in Jesus' name, but then they had to reach for their hand. Talk about the doubt. I'll be honest. Like, Lord, please, I'm going to look dumb. Rise up and walk. Can't walk. You know, that's the human doubt. Let's be real. But we can trust in the Lord, praying a big prayer. That's what Peter did, and he saw a massive miracle. Well, that's just Simon Peter. He was amazing. He's in the Bible. I'm just little old me. We need to remember that we're children of God, just as Peter was. The Bible does not say signs would follow Peter. I don't read a scripture that says, these signs shall follow Peter and no one else. No, what does it say? Mark 16, 17. Mark 16, verse 17 says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. As believers, praying for the miraculous and seeing God work, the miraculous are all part of our rich spiritual heritage. It's an interesting question to think, what miracle would you most love to witness in your lifetime? I've heard so many, about so many in this day, read so many in the Bible. Remember, I forget which missionary it was from Africa, Sister Pace's father, I can't think of his last name, talking about the story where arm grew long, or the maybe it was a leg, that it was imbalanced, and literally saw the leg right in front of him. How cool would that be? I think one of the coolest would be to see blind eyes opened. Do we have the faith to pray big prayers and believe our big God to do big things? Amen. In many regards, whew, I flew through this. Come on now. We're going to have some extra fellowship time here. But in many regards, it was a Sunday much like any other. The district camp meeting had concluded, and the guest speaker from the camp stayed over to preach at a local church that weekend. The service was a great one, marked by heartfelt, passionate worship. At the close of the message, a large number of people gathered around the altar, fervently seeking God. Suddenly, from the center aisle, great praise erupted. The excitement was palpable from across the room, so the speaker made his way toward the celebration. When he arrived, he was greeted by a scene never to be forgotten, one of those miracles that you want to see in your lifetime. A lady, blind since birth, was cupping the face of her grown daughter and staring with wonder at the face she had only been able to imagine up to that point. In one miraculous moment, and in response to the prayers of common believers, not of apostles, God had healed her eyes and given her sight for the first time in her life. How cool would that be? When she left that service, she left without her white cane. It was laying across the pulpit for all to see, including her. One can only imagine the stories told when she went to apply for her first driver's license. Talk about it. It's super cool. Man. And I'm sure she was jumping and shouting and telling everybody, yeah, I need an eye test. Oh, I got to get a driver's license. Miracles are still part of our spiritual DNA. We should expect such moments. God hasn't changed. So his working in the lives of people continue, just as those who populate the pages of the book of Acts frequently experience God's suspension of natural laws. So should we as his church today. Those of us who walk in the same truth as they did should see the same signs they saw along the journey. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20, last scripture. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Note, it doesn't say above all that we can ask or think. It says above all that we ask or think. Paul pointed out that God's ability is far beyond what we do ask and think. So the unspoken lesson here is that we should think and ask bigger. What we are currently presenting is certainly not overwhelming the unlimited resources of God. You are not going to challenge God with big enough request. He can do above all that we ask or think. So let's ask, let's think big. This week as we go through life, let's look for opportunities to pray for a miracle. In the grocery, there was one time in Noodles that we sat down. It was just Fiona and I. It was pre-kids. Oh, man, that was a while ago. It's just us two. It was a glorious day. No, I'm sorry. I keep making it. Just joking. And we sat down, and Fiona's very sensitive to spirit and sensitive to needs and sensitive to people around. I'm just here to eat noodles, you know. And she's like, this lady came in, and she saw her and observed, and she's like, "I'm going to go pray with her." Because this lady was teared up and crying and sitting there and had just ordered something. And I don't even remember what the situation was. But Fiona felt the nudge of the Lord to go pray. We have opportunities if we're in tune with the Lord. If we're saying, "God, lead us." And we don't have to be like, "Are you in the need? Okay, who's got a need? Who's got a need? I'm going to be way too over spiritual." No, but if we have a foundation of the Lord, we're going to be walking and God say, "Look left." Okay. You know? But eventually we're going to get to like, you're going to know that voice. Look, oh, a guy in the, matching me. He needs the Lord. We didn't plan this. But obviously it was good of God. No. We may have that opportunity. Those who are suffering in pain, we can ask and pray with them. Pause to listen to that lonely man on the city bus. Or ask if you can pray for him. Tell that hopeless teenager you meet on the street that God can heal her depression. Don't be intimidated by the magnitude of the need. Be bold. Be bold in Jesus. Because we have a God who is full of majesty, full of power. Last week's, if you weren't here, the precious name, there's power in the name of Jesus. Miracles still happen, and they can happen through us, through our big prayers. And closer to home, in just a little bit, 11 o'clock starts our worship service. There's going to be guests walking into this church. If we prayed Friday night, God would draw the needy. And yes, that's not only to our lives as we're out and about, but also to this church. There are people who just, they indicate on their guest card, drove by. How did they find you on the internet? you know, did a Google search, saw a cool social media, great social media team that we have. Thank you for all your postings. I saw that, you know. Whatever, however the Lord may meet or reach them, he's drawing. And so just a little bit, there's going to be guests, those with needs that have been drawn here. Strike up a conversation. That's why we encourage you to talk to guests. It's not about like just, yes, we want to make them feel friendly or feel welcome and feel like this is a family that they want to come here. But it's also to be a conduit for the Lord to reach them. And if they feel like, hey, someone talked to me and someone actually knows my need, don't just go to, well, you need to be saved. No, they may be coming in here because they've got cancer and they say, God, if you're real, lead me to a church. And they just typed in church and some reason they saw Calvary Gospel. We don't know why they're here. And so ask that question. Strike up a conversation. If it's a healing, saying, you know what? The Bible says in James, call for the elders. I'm going to go with you. Let's call for the elders. We've got an oil up here. We'll anoint you with oil. We're going to believe that God's going to heal you. Strike up that con. Find their need. Let's see a miracle. Let's believe in faith that Jesus. And how does it happen? Availability. It happens with our faithfulness. It happens with our continual asking and seeking and knocking. And we can then be a conduit ourselves for the Lord to move in our lives and through us to reach others. Let's all stand this morning. Hallelujah. We mentioned many prayer requests on Friday evening, some big ones. But there's also other requests that weren't mentioned. I'm believing for God to move in this church, through us, in our families. And so let's just pray today that God would increase our faith to believe in him for miracles. If there's been a doubt, take that doubt to God. Say, God, but I saw this happen, and this individual didn't get it. Take that doubt to God. And step forward and say, okay, God, I got to ground myself into your word again to have faith. And even though I don't know if it's going to happen this time, I'm going to help me to have the faith to keep going. Keep going. Amen. And help us. And let's pray also that God would give us boldness to pray big prayers, expecting him to work miracles. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much for your word. We thank you for, Lord God, Jesus, what was done, Lord Jesus, so many years ago, Lord God. Those who were received their healing, those who received miracles, Lord, signs and wonders, Lord God. And it's happening to this day, Lord. I pray, help us to expand our faith, Lord, this month as we're talking about miracles, God. To Lord Jesus, God, trust you, to lean on you, God, to increase our faith. Help us to increase our faith, to believe you for miracles in our lives and in the lives of others. Lord, give us boldness to pray big prayers, Lord God, to think big, to ask big, Lord Jesus, above, because you can do above all that we ask or think, God. I pray, give us boldness, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, here shortly as guests come to, Lord Jesus, be sensitive to needs, God, to reach out, Lord God, to find out what the need is, and Lord God, come boldly before you with them, Lord Jesus, to introduce them to you, God, the miracle worker, God. We're believing for your touch. We're believing for your miracles, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. If you have children, go ahead. Actually, you can go right now over and get your kids. Amen. We'll be going into worship here shortly.